And I met, this is our 50th anniversary. 50 years ago, at a Bible conference, we met here at Grace, at Rivermont Baptist Church. And we've been friends. Well, we didn't see each other for several years, but since about the early 80s, we've become very close with his family, and our entire families are close, like family to one another. And I appreciate Brother Brian's consistency and always preaching the gospel, always preaching the truth over those many years, because, folks, y'all know as well as I do how many people we've seen come and go. And it saddens me that that happens. But Brother Brian, as these other preachers that are here, have been faithful over the years, stand for the word rightly divided, and I thank God for every one of them. And I thank God for Brother Brian and June, and we've had some great times together. We'll just need to tell you sometime, if you've got time, to sit down and talk about our trip to Niagara Falls and what happened when the guy asked us if we had any guns in the car as we went across the border. That was exciting. All right, Brother Brian, come on and preach to us. Appreciate you being here tonight, and thank God for you and June and the Pastor's Charity Bible Church. And if you've never been there, if you ever get over to North Carolina, I know they'd love to have you come.
Well, I probably shouldn't tell you this. Well, I'm going to anyway. I only have one page. Sam had, how many did you have? I remember the grandkids, they used to say on Sundays, "Papa, how many pages you got today?" But that ain't what I shouldn't tell you. But I'm going to tell you anyway. One thing about the Niagara Falls trip. We stopped at a grocery store. I believe it was, wasn't it? At a store to get some stuff. And we go in there, me and Steve. I think Mary and June stayed in the car. And there was some guys in front of me, and Steve had got the stuff, and I picked up the bag and went on out there, followed him out the door. And we got in the car, and Steve said, "Wait a minute, what's in your bag?" And it was a 6-pack of beer. Now, I didn't do that intentionally. So I take that back in the store, and that guy, there was a little guy in there, and he said, "I done paid for my beer. Where's your dad?" And that guy said, "Well, I ain't done," and he was arguing, and I walked up, and I said, "I took this, and I shouldn't have." And I walked out. Wow. That was a terrible moment for me. Talk about being embarrassed. I was afraid they was going to get me for shoplifting. That's what was running. I'd end up in Canada's jail. Anyway, I appreciate all the preachers. I appreciate Brother Steve. And I remember being up here 50 years ago. And I've all these preachers that's here, I've watched, and I've been sitting back there thinking, they've never deviated from the gospel of Christ. Always stood for it. And I thank y'all for that. And Sam done told you how old I am. And but you know, considering the alternative, I'm glad I'm the age that I am. And if the Lord comes back before I get done, I've had a great life. Amen? And I'm looking forward to my life with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians just for a few moments. You know, we all have traditions. Family traditions. You meet on certain days and you go do things. There are good traditions and there are bad traditions. Tradition is something that's handed down. And I want to talk about the traditions that have to do with doctrines. And there are traditions that are evil, that bring hurt spiritually to members of the body of Christ. And that's religious traditions. I want you to look in 2 Thessalonians and notice what Paul says in verse 14. Let's read verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now you see this all the way through here. Look back in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. And then in verse 13, belief of the truth. So you see, there's a truth that Paul's going to share. And he goes on in verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and behold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now look in chapter 3, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we have behaved ourselves behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. I want you to turn with me to Matthew, and notice in Matthew chapter 15. Now look at some things our Lord. The Lord faced traditions. Matthew chapter 15, and then look in verse, let's start with verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Look in verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions, ye hypocrites. Verse 9, But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Look in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And you get the pattern here. The traditions of men, how they go against the commandments and the Word of God. Notice in Mark chapter 7, look in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. One other passage, look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Traditions, that that's been handed down, and doctrines. Colossians chapter 2, notice in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And folks, I want to tell you, they spoil people through their traditions and their doctrines that is after the commandments of men. And they take things, and they all have Scripture. For instance, there's a tradition that you got to be baptized in water if you're going to follow Christ. That's a tradition. It's a commandment of men. Because God never commanded anybody here to be baptized in water when they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's a tradition. That's a doctrine that's been handed down. They got Scripture for it. There's a whole denomination built upon Acts 2:38, Mark 16. Traditions of men that injure people. And that's evil. And it's evil to have things like that. But I want to give you some things tonight that Paul handed down to you. And Paul is your apostle. And over he said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. I do not believe that you can follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace without following Paul. Paul wrote 13 books in this Bible. A lot of people believe he wrote Hebrews. I personally don't. There's over 50 verses you can go through them 13 chapters in Hebrews that Paul could not have said as the apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. And so I believe that he wrote 13 books in that New Testament. I believe if you want to walk in the Spirit in the dispensation of grace, you must follow the Paul and his doctrines. We don't follow his life. I never have spoken tongues except the English tongue. I've never raised anybody from the dead, so don't fall asleep and fall out on the floor and break your neck because I can't raise you like Paul did. I've never cast a demon out of nobody. I've preached to demons that was in people, I believe, but I've never cast them out. And so, I can't follow Paul's life. I can't follow Paul's ministry. But I can follow the doctrines that he handed down to me, the traditions that we live by today. Now I want you to give you one. Number one, I believe it's a tradition that there's one gospel today that saves. One gospel. Not many, not a half, but one gospel. What is that gospel? It is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where he said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried, and God raised him from the dead according to the Scriptures. I believe he died on that cross for all of my sins. All of them was paid for that day. I believe that he was buried, put out of God's sight. God turned his back upon his only son. Jesus Christ cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God the Father forsook him on the cross, and there he died. And he said, in a cry of faith, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and he went down. And the Bible said he preached unto the spirits in prison down there. I don't know what else he was doing down there, but I know on that third day, God the Father said enough. Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews, tasted death for every man. That ain't a physical death that he tasted. He literally died a physical death. He done more than tasted and the physical, but he went into death. And I believe that second death, the separation from God the Father, from life itself, and he's tasted that for everyone in this building tonight. So I don't believe that. Well, that's your problem. That's the problem with people today. They won't receive the truth. They won't believe the truth. Jesus Christ died for all your sins, whether you like it or not. Now look what he goes on. One gospel. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation." Joining the church is not the power of God unto salvation. Being water baptized is not the power of God unto salvation. Walking a sawdust trail is not the power of God unto salvation. What is the power of God unto salvation? It's believing what Christ did for you on the cross. There's one gospel, one way, and that way is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you. And you reject that, God will stick you in the bottom of hell and laugh at you while you fry like a ball of sausage. I'm telling you, he will. You say, "Well, I don't want a God like that." Well, you don't have no choice. There's only one, and that's him, Jesus Christ. He's God. God shed his blood for you. Amen. One gospel. And it's the power of God. In fact, look over in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I love verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. "But is now made manifest." He's talking about the calling. Verse 9, he says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." And it's a heavenly calling. But he goes on, he said, "It's according to his own purpose and grace." Your good looks didn't get him to save you. Your money didn't get him to save you. There's nothing that you did to get God to save you. There's nothing that you could do to get God to do anything for you. You know why he forgave you? For Christ's sake. That's what Ephesians 4 said. Now look what he goes on. Verse 10. "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath done already, is happening, hath abolished." What's that word? You know, a child of God's never going to die. You're not going to ever experience it. That's good preaching right there, isn't it, Steve? I mean, he abolished it. Look on, he goes on. "And brought life and immortality to light through water baptism. Oh, wrong translation, wasn't it? Through the gospel. Look back in Ephesians. And by the way, Paul calls all of these, three times he calls the gospel, his gospel, my gospel. But look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're talking about the tradition. There's one gospel. That's a doctrine that's handed down through the Apostle Paul. It was revealed to him. Well, had the princes of this world knew what was going to happen, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But this was part of a secret that Jesus Christ was going to go and die for people like you and die for your sins and put you in a body along with the Jews and Gentiles, and all of that was hid in God. And it's called a mystery in your Bible, and folks, the devil didn't know nothing about it until Paul began to preach it. But look back in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, notice what he said in verse 6. That the Gentiles, the one Sam talking about, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by what? The gospel. You can't get in the body of Christ without believing the gospel of Christ. You can't be saved without believing the gospel of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ has one thing in common. I mean, they got many, but one thing for sure, they got there the same way that I got there, by believing that Christ died for my sins and was buried. And God raised him for my justification. I thank God for that message. The second thing I want you to know, that it's by grace. A doctrine of salvation has not got no works in it. You don't even figure in it. Look what he says in Titus. In Titus chapter 3. Notice what he said in Titus chapter 3. Verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of controversy about that. Personally, I never had the Holy Ghost to get renewed in me. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if you got the Spirit of Christ, you're his. Amen? Well, I didn't get it and lose it and have to have it renewed. I like what he says in the next verse. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word shed, it's put to your account. Do you know what Jesus Christ had renewed in Him? Come on, folks. The Bible said that God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He became what you are. He didn't have no sin to die for. The wages of sin is death. He's not dying His death. He's not paying for His sins. He's dying your death. He tasted that second death for you. And God renewed him. And it's through the washing of regeneration. When He brought him out of that grave. Amen. And you know something? I come up with Him. I died with Him. I was buried with Him. And I arose with Him. People don't believe that. Well, that's good news. I'm saved not because of my works. Not because I do things. I'm not saved because I preach, teach, or go to church. And I'm not saved because of things I don't do. Because I do some things that probably you think would be bad. You know, we started over here and Brianna said, I'll drive, Papa, I'll drive. And we hadn't got very far. This guy pulls and he just cuts the car right off in front of her and she said, Papa, you're in the back seat. Said, I'll fuss if I need to fuss. Well, and she got out and she said, I'm ready to get out, Asheville. Yeah, she knows she's going through the gorge and through Knoxville and it wasn't a happy sight. They were pretending to be playing their games. But I get in the flesh because I'm in the flesh, that old man. I know we're to reckon him dead, but bless God, he resurrects every once in a while. You know? All the time, folks, it's not nothing that I do. If my salvation is dependent on me living a certain way, I don't have no hope. If my salvation was dependent on what I did to get saved, I didn't have no hope. And I'll tell you something else. If my salvation, me keeping it, is dependent on how I live, I'm a goner. But it's dependent on Him. So we're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. It's all about our His work. Then I want you to see the completeness in our security. That's a good tradition there, isn't it? People say, you believe in once saved, always saved. I say, well, don't you? The only ones that I ever seen in the Bible that was saved and then they lost it, could not never get it again. You read Hebrews chapter 6 and those people, if they should fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. You can't get saved and then lose it and then get re-saved. You're either saved or you're lost. And there's only, you're either secure in Christ or you're not in Christ. Our security, Colossians 2:10 says, we're complete in Him. Christ. There's nothing you can do to be any more complete than what you already are. What a tradition that Paul left us with. What doctrines he left us with. We have eternal security. And we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Everything about your salvation, everything about your life, it should be to the praise of His glory and not your glory. We have no part in it. that in Ephesians 4:30, he tells you how long you're sealed. And he says in verse 30, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. A seal keeps things in and keeps things out. A seal. You're sealed into the new creature that He's creating, the body of Christ. And nothing can get into that body except those that have been placed into that body by the Spirit of God, baptized into the body, immersed into the body by the Spirit of God. And that's the one baptism of Ephesians 4. And when that happens, you're sealed in Him. Notice something else. Look in the Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now it's just 9:02 I got. You don't need to go and watch who shot Annie. I'll tell you who shot Annie. The devil did. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, notice in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him where? In glory. Folks, that's the ultimate end. But notice in verse 3, for ye, the old man, the old person that you was, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He's got you stored away. He's got you hid. Your life. Thank God. You know, I've been put in, and I had nothing to do it, and there's nothing can reach me to get me out. Folks, that's eternal security. That's completeness. And then I want you to see, He's preserving you. He's doing it. Look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice what He says in verse 23. We're preserved. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will what? Do it. He does it. Look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice verse 17. Notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me, the preaching, not just preaching, it's the preaching, might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now I want to just say a comment. You're there. If you, my Bible, I got it on the next page in Titus chapter 1. About the preaching. In Titus chapter 1 verse 3, hath in due times manifested His word through what? Preaching. Which is committed unto me. It's not just preaching. It's preaching that was committed unto Paul. That's what we're to preach. And there's no greater message than Romans through Philemon. Say, well, I've been at charity for, we started, well, with a group I started in 1975. And then we pulled out. We didn't pull out. They threw me out. And a bunch of people went with me and said, "We believe what you teach us." And we started a church. And after that, in 1980. And people should come up to me and say, "After 50 years of preaching, hadn't you run out yet?" Said, "You don't you redo sermons?" I say, "Don't you sing Amazing Grace more than once?" Boy, we do. Matter of fact, we get in the rut and we sing the same ones about every Sunday. No. But you know, it doesn't matter. You know why? People don't remember them anyway. All you gotta do is change titles and go right at it. But you can never run out. You can't exhaust the Word of God. Now look on. He said, "Be preaching." Go to verse 18 about preservation. In verse 18, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom." The Lord will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. Back in Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to close, I promise. Colossians chapter 1. Because I'm tired. You know, I used to just go and do, in my mind, I can get out and do something, but I can't do it. I mean, me and Paul, June, we get out there and try to mow, and I think, boy, I'm going to weed eat. I'm going to do the push mowing, the weed eating, and I look down there and she's riding that lawnmower, and whew, I need to sit down. You know that? Can't do it. It's awful. Getting old's not for... It's a bad word I could put there. You know, people... Funny how people are. You know, woman could get up and say, "Oh, heavens." Man get up and say, "Oh, hell." I mean, you know, he's a cussing and she's glorified. But it is. It's rough. And why? I don't feel preserved, is what I'm saying. I'm not in my flesh. I have a body that's laid up for me up there, eternal in the heavens. Someday, I'm going to be in that body, and it'll never get this away. But look on, look back where he says in verse 13, chapter 1, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath," it's a done deal, "translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." It's a heavenly kingdom out there, and you have an inheritance in it. You have a position out there. Ephesians 2 said we're seated with Him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. We're already, as far as God is concerned, you're a finished product. As Brother Moore used to say, it's a done deal. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for giving me these truths through the Apostle Paul. And he wrote them down for you. And this don't even scratch the surface of the traditions that Paul left you to believe and rejoice in. The promises of God are not yea, nay, but in Him, they're yay. They're all positive. Brother Steve.